This episode was recorded at Rock Money Media in Covina, California.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
I like that.
I quite knew you were like that intro.
Yes, I did.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the first pilot, I guess you could say, first episode of Mama Knows Best Podcast.
Woohoo! Go, Tina. Go, Noelle. Go, Tina. Go, Noelle.
I am Noelle, a.k.a. Noe, Mother Knows Best, and
I am Tina, the
Mama
mother.
The mother. I'm the daughter. She's the mother. Obviously, guys, we're coming into this podcast. We're kind of a spinoff of Rocky Nash podcast, Rock Money Media. We wanted to start this podcast because, well, first, we're featured in a few Rocky Nash episodes, I guess you could say. And the few that we were featured in, we got really good feedback, according to Rocky on his end. And there was a couple people, like, you know, would ask questions or were requesting us to have a podcast that they thought we had good content. I hope that we
have good content.
I hope that we could hold some good content. But, you know, we just want to come on here and just kind of give a woman's perspective on everything. It could be a wife, a mother,
family.
You don't even have to be a wife or a mother to even listen to this podcast. No. It could just be a woman's point of view on things. I think we wear many hats as women, as I said previously.
And a man's insight into what our heads and our brains are.
Rocky said a man wouldn't care
about what we do. I think they care. I think they do.
But yeah, so, I mean, I think we're just, in this episode, we're going to give you a little background of who we are and our relationship as mother and daughter and how we've grown into our relationship as me as an adult with my mother. And I think as the episodes progress, you'll get to know us a lot better. You'll get to know our point of views. Me and my mother were very much alike, but we're also very, very different. Definitely. We're total opposites.
She is her dad.
But yeah, so I mean, just for a little background for myself, my name is Noelle again. I grew up with three older brothers, Rocky being one of them. And my mother and my father have been married. How long have you and dad been married, Mom?
We'll be 48 years in November.
Wow. Yeah. Woohoo! Good for you. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause for sure.
Married the guy across the street.
Yeah, my mom used to watch him work out.
Oh, gosh.
That's a whole other story. I mean, eventually we'll jump into like how her and my dad met and how their marriage is progressing since day one. They've been married since they were teenagers, really.
Yes.
But yeah, I just, you know, I think for me growing up with you, Mom, I think our relationship has grown over the years. It's been very different from me growing up as a child to a teenager to now me as a woman, as an adult, as a married woman with children. I feel me and my mom have gotten a lot closer these past years, and I think the last 10 years that I've been married. And I think just the insight that my mother gives and the advice that I go to her for, like, is just so genuine and heartfelt that it's not only me that needs to hear it. I think a lot of women do, because it's not even just me that goes to my mother. There's like my friends and there's family, like, and she just has, I mean, she has 48 years of marriage, guys. Like, you know, there's nobody better to have give advice. And it's not just even marriage advice, just in general life advice. And I think just growing up, I thought my mom didn't like me growing up.
There we go again. That story.
It's an honest story. Only because when I was a teenager, I think I've said this story before, for those who haven't heard, growing up as a teenager, my father, I was a daddy's girl. I was always.
You're still a daddy's girl.
I'm still a daddy's girl, but I feel like I take your side more now because I see your point of view.
Thank you.
And growing up, my dad, if he didn't want me doing something, he would tell my mother, like, you go tell her. I don't want to tell her. So I always thought my mom was the bad guy. Like, she always had to tell. She laid, you know.
I took that role as the bad guy.
Yeah, she took it very well. She played that role very well.
Yes.
And
AKA, I didn't put up with her shit.
Yes.
Mom.
Her poop.
I was an angel compared to my brothers.
Yes, but you're a different kind of angel, as you want to say.
Yeah, I guess so. I think my brothers, it was very easy to compare myself to them as an angel. That was very easy.
No, wait, just hold on there for a minute. I believe the difference between bringing up a son and a daughter, you could tell a son something and they'll be mad. And 10 minutes later, they're like, hey, mom, do you want a soda? Hey, mom, do you want this? I would tell Noelle something and she would hate me for a week.
I can't even hold grudges that long. It may be for the whole day.
You would zip up that hoodie sweater where I couldn't even see your face.
It would be the whole day. I would go to sleep mad. And I learned from that. That's another topic. But like now I can't go to sleep mad at anybody because it really does bother me and it bothers my sleep. But yeah, I used to go to sleep angry if she told me anything. Anyways, long story short, it progress from now that I'm a mother and I could see my mom's end of things, and I get it. Like, I get why she did what she did and told me what she needed to tell me and was the enforcer of the family, because I feel like I'm that for my family. And you know, Danny's always the fun guy, the fun dad. He doesn't ever want to be the bearer of bad news. He'll send me in to the little are you all right over there?
You know, no, excuse me, we were at the football field, and you know I'm allergic to grass, and they just mowed the lawn, and I think it's just getting to me right now.
So you're good now?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. So I think, Mom, a question I have for you, and I know our relationship growing up, it went through stages. And I'm just glad now that our relationship now as mother and daughter has grown into such a strong bond and relationship that I could go to you for advice for anything really under the sun, even being a mother and a wife. And I think that's why this podcast is going to work out great for people who don't have that person to ask these questions to. Because even if, you know, they do have a mother, maybe, you know, the mother doesn't know how to express or whatever. But I think you're just such a motivational speaker that it could work for anybody that really listens, and it could help anybody in
Thank you. As you said, it did change over the years, because if you recall, I've always told you, I am not your friend. I am your mother. Yes. And I will correct you, and I will try to teach you to go the right way or to guide you. However, at that time when you were a teenager and a young adult, I'd always say, I'm going to tell you, Noelle, the way it is. I love you with all my heart, but I'm also going to reprimand you for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But then as you got older and you got married and you became a mother, now I could truly say you are my friend. Not that we're equals, because I still know more than you, just a little bit. But I mean, you have my heart now because you understand the growing pains of being a mother. And as your sons grow older, like Jacob now is in college, so there's going to be a whole different set of rules for him probably, as opposed to your younger boys. So it goes in stages.
Yeah.
So now I could truly say that you are my friend. I would say my best friend, because I don't tell you everything, because I don't believe that any child should know what's going on in their parents' life with arguments or money or anything that's a conflict in a marriage, because that is not your problem. That is between a husband and a wife. So I know a lot of people, they tell their kids, and then the kids get mad at their dad, or the kids get mad at their mom. And I'm like, no, you love us both equally, so you don't need to be in our mix. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you tell best friends everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I know I was looking at your face. You are my best friend.
Well, because you jumped from Jacob to really quick again.
I'm sorry. But that's what I mean. You are my best friend in the sense that that's what I wanted a daughter for. I wanted a daughter so we could do things together, and you could be my other half.
I think that's one thing growing up is I had a friend in high school, and her mom at the time I thought was so cool. She lived technically my friend lived with her dad, right? Yes. And her dad had full custody of her and her siblings. And one day the mom was actually around. She was never around, and the mom was around. She's like, oh, I'm gonna take you guys out, I'm gonna take you to a club, I'll get you fake IDs.
I remember
telling you, and I was like, oh my god, mom, she's so cool, like,
oh, she's
can I
the
go
best.
She's the best. And my mom was like, hell no. Mom was like, nope, yeah, I don't think so. And I was like, why, she's so cool. And I just think I used to think like, man, I wish my parents would just be a little more lenient. I wish they weren't so knowledgeable about what's going on and like what teenagers are doing and all this stuff, because I wasn't allowed to do anything. Like, my friends were sneaking out of houses, going to TJ to go party, and I could not do anything because they were just so invested in what we were doing. And at the time, it bothered me, but I'm just so thankful now. From 4 to 6. I'm just so thankful now that you guys were on us really tough.
Alcohol in this?
Oh God, honey, no. What a mother do you think I am? Why, do you want a little bit? Because if you're gonna drink, I'd rather you do it in the house.
Oh my no, gosh. Thank you.
Mean girls.
Yes.
But you weren't a cool mom. You were a real mom.
Yes.
And you know, that was the honestly, and I'm thankful for that now, because that literally stood a foundation for me. And now I want that foundation for my kids, and to be like, I'm not going to be sitting there going, even when my kids are older, like Jacob is 19. Oh my God, 18. But when he is 21, I don't plan on going on with him to clubs and going drinking. I think that's freaking weird.
Yes.
Now like that we're older, like I'll go, we'll go to a bar. Like, mm-hmm. We've been to a bar with my mom and dad before. Yes. But not when I was in my early 20s. Now that I'm a parent, I'm there with my husband and stuff like that. We'll have a few drinks and then we go home. But it's not like we're partying together. And I don't think I could ever party with my kids. That would be just weird. Now, when they're older and they want to drink at the house and something, that's different. But I don't think I could just be out with them. I'm just glad you put that foundation for us, because that would have been the weirdest thing.
Yes,
to do.
I just think it's odd when I see young parents do that with their kids that are 18, 19, 20, going to be 21, and they're sitting there and they could be even smoking weed or drinking or just, you know, kicking back with their kids. I'm like, don't they have friends their own age? I'm just thinking, you know, because you do have to have friends your own age. Like your father and I, we have friends that are our age, and then we have you guys and your group of friends truly are our friends too, mm-hmm. because they come over, they'll come to the house, they'll eat Sunday dinners with us, they'll just
but
come.
Then you draw a line. There's yes. a line where it's like, yeah, they'll come over, they'll have a drink, they'll have dinner, but then they just draw a line. Like, you don't party
with them.
You don't party. Like, yes, we have like family outings now, it's different, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's something I want to do with my kid, and I don't know if I could be okay with that, like with me and my children.
Well, even it's really funny, because recently we went to the end of the year party, was your baseball team that you managed.
Oh, yeah.
And your father's a coach. So we're there, and you guys are all young. You know, you're young with your kids. And
thank you. I like to think I'm very young
you.
Still.
And you guys are drinking and having a good time, and Dad and I are looking at each other, and Dad says, your father says, we're the oldest ones here. I go, I know, should we leave? And I go, but you're a coach, can we eat first and then leave?
But I think that was different. Like, but it was literally a team party. Dad's a coach, you were very like invested into the team, like, so there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, if anybody was partying, it was all the moms. The yes. dads, the dads were not even partying, it was all the moms.
Yes,
but no, I don't see anything wrong with that's totally different. It's not like we're going out to a club together. Yes. Like, that would be totally weird.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Dad and I had our party days when we were young.
You know, it's funny that you just said this. I was literally just having this conversation. I'm totally taking all my notes. I'm not even really going off my notes now. This is just a genuine organic conversation. I was literally just having this conversation with my cousin, Brittany, and I was saying that, you know, we really lived it up in our 20s. Like, we went out, we partied, we were in Vegas, that we lived it up so much so that I was ready to settle down mm-hmm. and have kids and get married. Like, I don't, you know, there's people nowadays that are like, oh man, I wish I could, you know, the grass is greener mm-hmm. and I wish I could go back to those party days and do that. Like, I would not want to be single in this world right now. And to leave what you have to go party and stuff like that is crazy to me, because I think that was the best thing about it, is that I did live it up in my 20s, where I was ready to settle down and ready to be a mother and ready to actually have a family and be a wife, where I don't regret anything and I never miss it. Like, I never miss going back. Like, so what you said, like, I know you were a young parent, but you and Dad still dated, right?
Yes,
right,
dated
after your marriage. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Like, how did you guys go? Because I know my brothers, when you and Dad got married, my brothers were all very young. They're all a year apart.
Yes.
So how did you and Dad make time to even go out and do things?
One thing your father and I have always, instilled in our marriage is date night. Even to this day, everybody at work even knows, oh, it's Tuesday.
Movie night.
Tina and they call my husband Tony, our Neverett. They go, Tina and Tony is date night. They're going to go eat somewhere and then go to the movies. Everybody knows Tuesday is a date night. But now we have football, so no more date night. We have to push it to a weekend. But we've always instilled that in our marriage, even young. When our kids were young, I used to teach tall flag rifles at a high school. And I would have some of my students who I taught, they would babysit the boys so Dad and I could have date night. So we always did that because...
I was just going to ask, who babysat the boys? Yes.
And then, you know, they were young and they had these high school girls, you know, babysitting them. And then all of a sudden, you know, as they got older... They were putting on Dad's cologne and looking all nice. And I'm like, oh, no. We got to find a different babysitter now. Because these young high school girls would come and the boys would be very happy when they would come.
Yeah. So. No, I think that's very important. I think that's something me and my husband, Danny. If I say Danny, guys, I'm sorry. It is my husband. But yes, Danny, my husband, that's something me and him still do. Yes. Obviously, we're honestly... I'm super busy. He's super busy with, we both work full time and the kids, all three of our sons are in sports. So it's very hard to find time on the weekend or during the week to do anything. So if we have a free weekend, we try to do it once a month date night. I think that's very important in any relationship, whether you're married, engaged, boyfriend and girlfriend. And you, because there's boyfriend and girlfriends that have been with each other for
years,
even probably longer than I've been married. And you still have to date each other.
You still have to find something that you look forward to in every week with your spouse, your husband, your boyfriend, your significant other, anybody that you have a relationship with. You have to like, oh my gosh, yeah, you know, you start planning.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I know. Even me, as old as I am, when Tuesday comes along, I'm like, what am I going to wear to the movies? Am I dressed nice at work so I could just go from work to the movies with your father? You know, it's just something to look forward to. And I just believe in any relationship, you have to have that spark. And you don't let it die out. You keep on making it interesting. Go do things. And I also think that, you know, just planning it and doing it, you got to stick with it all those years. You might miss a week or two, but you still say, hey, I'm going to do it. And you plan it and you actually go and do it. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, it's going to get monotonous. It's going to get boring. Yeah. And there's going to be no spark. Once you get married and you start having your family or in your relationship, if you have kids, you sometimes people say, oh, the kids got in the way. No, the kids did not get in the way. You did not make time for your husband.
One thing that you always said, because my grandma, her mother used to always say, is even if you guys don't have a babysitter, if you have no babysitter and say you're a stay at home mom, okay, or even if you get off of work earlier, you don't have work that day. She always said, always be ready. So when the man gets home, he can't just take off and leave by saying, like, oh, I'm going to go out with the boys or I'm going to do this and that. You be ready. You have the kids dressed and ready so that when he gets home, you'd be like, you know what? Let's go to dinner. Even if it's with the kids, even if you have to do dinner with the kids, just always be ready so that they never have to wait to even get ready. Just say, hey, babe, you know what? You get dressed, you get ready, and then let's all go. Because that way, if you don't have a babysitter or anything, you still kind of get a date night in some sense, right?
You're right.
Or exactly. The whole family gets out the house. Mm-hmm.
And my mom said, you know, my mom was full of great wisdom, you know, and I took her pearls of wisdom to heart. And she always told me when I just got married, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. You know, the boys, you know, had three of them, you know, in a row, and I'm tired. And she's like, no, when Anthony comes home from work, you have those kids bathed and ready, and you have, because we'd go places and then we would spend the night at our friend's house or we'd come home. But she said my dad, when they got married, he was like, okay, I'm leaving. And she'd be like, what, the girls aren't ready. He goes, okay, I'll be back later. And my dad would leave, and my mom, this isn't gonna go on. So my mom said she would get all of our clothes ready. And when my dad came home, she's like, oh, where are we going tonight? And my dad was like, what?
Bags packed, ready to what? Go.
So she did that. And that's what I instilled in my marriage. Because, you know, I was like, okay, Neverett, we're ready. What do you want to do? And he's like, okay. So that, you know, it made it a family event. Or else we'd get a babysitter and we and him would go. But it would happen.
I think that's probably the best advice you could give somebody that needs just to even get out the house and date. Yes. Date their husband.
Date your husband. I mean... Gosh, that's
don't ever stop being the girlfriend.
No. Oh, that's good, babe. I like that. Never stop being the girlfriend. I like that.
Yeah, be a mom.
Yep.
Be a little hoochie mama.
And with the local DBC News, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. Put suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
I like that song.
So on this second part of the podcast, I kind of want to get into some of the questions.
That's good.
You know what,
guys? You put it out there.
Yeah. On those of you listening that maybe don't follow me on Instagram, I put up a question segment if anybody needed any advice or wanted to ask questions to Mama T. And we actually got a lot of questions or people asking advice.
And you put it out midday, not even.
I did. Yeah. I did. I was actually kind of shocked. I was like, dang, people actually read my stuff.
That's good. That's good.
So I'm going to read a couple of the questions and then you can answer them, Mom. Okay.
Well, or we both could.
Oh, we both could. Yeah. Well, yeah, because the first one is from my own son. It says. There it is. Oh, there it is. We were waiting for it. Everybody's been waiting for it. You haven't started the whole.
Shut up.
That a girl. Oh, get gosh. It again.
Shut up.
Thanks, guys. You guys are great out there.
You got a great audience.
From Jake McKinn 3, he says, who's your favorite son? And this better be on the podcast.
Oh.
Jacob Daniel. You know what? My favorite son is whoever needs my attention that day and that time. There's days where all three of you guys could be my favorite. And there's days where just one specific child is my favorite. There's, I mean, literally, I think all three of you, even your father's my other child, like he needs my attention a lot too. So all three of you guys are my favorite depending on the day and depending on the attitude.
And depending on the need.
And the need, yes. Some of you, all three of you need my attention and there's days that one needs it the most. So
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a fair answer because every child needs something at a certain time. And I think, you know, I think that
But we all know Rocky's your favorite.
Oh, here we go. And I just think that's the
oh, my God.
Oh, he gets
producer Rock.
Man.
He's going to give himself an applause.
Of course.
He is here, guys. He's in the background. He's producing us.
Yeah, he's not.
Telling us when to shut up.
He's not yelling at us today. Jeez. Yes.
Oh, man. He's, you know what? It's really hard to pick. These
so many questions. I can't believe all the questions you received.
I have a really good question from you. And I
from me?
For you. Okay. Sorry, did I say
like,
from you?
I was like, I wrote in? I was like, well, I'm going to ask myself something today.
Can we do, excuse me, producer Rock, can we put that snorting in the beginning of every podcast so they know it's coming in?
And I can use it on my episode.
Yeah. They
<Shut up. laughs>
Then they know what episodes Mom's on. Oh, man. My goodness. Okay, this is a really good question from Ashley DeAnda.
Are we supposed to say their names?
I don't know. Am I supposed to?
If they don't put anonymous.
Okay. Oh, there you go with an anonymous.
If it's
Anonymous.
Anonymous. What is going on?
Oh, God,
it's not going to stop, guys. She's on a roll. Frankie, stop. Frankie's my dog. He snorts too.
You call me Frankie?
Can I ask this question?
Go. Freak.
Okay.
Okay. Serious face. Go.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I can't right
okay,
now.
Okay, go.
Okay, what year in your marriage was the hardest and which one was the best? That's a good question.
That's a really good question. Easy peasy, which one was the hardest? I think my first year of marriage or our first year of marriage was the hardest because, number one, nobody thought we'd make it the full year. Everybody was like, oh, Anthony and Tina, they got married too young. They're never going to make it, you know, it roadblocks all the way. And it was really hard. But, you know, your father and I, we just looked at each other and said, you know what? No, all these haters, it's not going to happen. We're going to stick together and we're going to have a fantastic marriage. We're going to make it work. Believe me, there was some hard times because we were young and there was hard times in that beginning, but we just stuck it through. Sometimes, you know, actually, the first year of marriage, I threw our Christmas tree at him. So,
Yes. Oh my God.
I threw the tree. I don't know. I was mad. And so
we never remember the reason we were mad if we're throwing things.
And so, you know, I just threw the whole tree at him. And then we had a whole family intervention because why Tina threw a tree. But yeah.
Yeah, he also threw a lamp at his head too. Oh. But that's another story.
I thought he died, but he didn't.
Okay, so which year was the best?
The best year? Wow, the best year. Gosh, I don't, you know, I can't really pin down a best year because there have been so many great moments.
Corny.
No, for real.
I'm just kidding.
You know, the years all of you guys were born were great years. But I think with Dad and I, every year there's something that happens that makes it an incredible year to just, you know, be with him all these years.
Ew.
Oh, shut up. All these years. So the best year, they're still to come, babe.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
You should say the present.
Well, yeah, the present. Shut up.
Okay. So, I have another question. This one wants to know, what is the key to having such a close bonded family, whether it's immediate or a distant family? We do have a very close family, but maybe you give, because I think for you, you're the one that really kind of gets the family together. So what's the key to it? Communication?
No, you know what, babe? I call Noelle babe. We've all called her babe. Her brothers call her babe.
Because I'm the baby.
Yeah, so we've always called her babe. So I think you hit it the nail on the head. Is that
hit
what
the nail on the
head?
Or
the
I think
head?
So.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm bad with analogies.
Yes, me too. Communication. Because without communication, you cannot hold that family together. So whether we're doing a family dinner or we're going somewhere or we're just going to hang out, communication is key, because if you leave somebody out, there's all kinds of chaos that comes with that. So communication, just being open and honest, and also, you know, like I said, open and honest, because our family, we are a very tight, close-knit family, our immediate family, and then our cousins and your aunts and uncles and everybody, my father, everybody who has to go within the circle of our family, that we have our ups and our downs, but at the end we love each other. So if we get in an argument or a disagreement, we're like, okay, we'll hear each other's point of view, but then at the end we're like, okay, we're over it, and we love each other, because mm-hmm. love takes over everything. In our case, I cannot ever see myself not talking to one of my sisters or my father or you guys.
Yeah.
For if I get mad at you, you know I'm mad. If you guys get mad at me, you'll say, hey, Mom, and you'll tell me what you
need
to
say. I think that's one of our strong points about our family, is that I think we all express ourselves very mm-hmm. well, or maybe not very well. Maybe we get too aggressive, but we do express ourselves. And I think you'll always know how we feel regardless, right?
And
is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I also think the head of that family, like for us, your father and I, we don't take sides. If you're mad at your brothers, or your brothers are mad at you, or each other, we never take a side and said, okay, this one is wrong and this one is right. We try to fix the problem to bring you guys back together. But in doing that, as when you were young and growing up, you guys do that yourself now. If you guys have a disagreement, you'll say, hey, I'm mad at you, A, B, C, D, and then you guys fix your problem and you move on. There's nothing that you hold a grudge and you don't take it with you, so you're mad with a family member for a long time. That doesn't happen in our family. We say what we have to say and then we move on.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, because sometimes you won't like it, but then we move on.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of analogies, though, I just want to roll back how I'm bad with analogies. Rocky's last episode, he said that he wore his heart on his shoulder.
Is it a sleeve?
It's sleeve.
I'll see.
But I'm bad with analogies, too, when I got that one and I laughed. Okay, I'll take this last question. Honestly, guys, we have so many questions, and I think I'm going to save a few of them for the next episode, because they are really good questions, and I don't want to... We will be here all day if I get into every single question.
Literally,
especially with my mom, the way she likes to talk, we'll be here for like a few hours.
And I'm hungry.
But this one is this one actually kind of made me laugh, and I wasn't sure if we're the laugh or feel sorry for her. It says, "How do you end up with How do you put up with a man who's ending up on an episode of Snap? So if you guys don't know what Snapped is, it's pretty much a series. It's like a docuseries. Each episode is a true crime reality that examines a felon or someone who committed murder or attempted murder.
Wait, she's with a murderer?
I don't know. The victim is usually a perpetrator's partner. So
what?
Yeah, I guess that. So I guess this show Snapped is somebody.
I think Aunt Lisa watches that.
Yeah, it's like every episode is a different story about somebody who
snapped.
Fucking lost it, like they just snapped. So it's either attempted murder or murder. So she wants to know, how do you put up with a man who ended up on Snapped?
Run, sucker, run.
Run, bitch.
Run, bitch, run.
Get out of that relationship. You're crazy for even asking that question.
He's gonna snap.
Literally, we don't want to see you on the show, the docuseries that you're missing or something.
That like gave me chills right now. It's like weird.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I was like, wait, Snapped. No, that's a crazy show.
Oh,
yeah. Get out of that.
I would get out of that relationship because
as soon as possible.
You can't trust him and he'll snap. Literally.
I hope he didn't end up on the episode of Snap about her. Like, I mean, I hope it was a previous relationship and she could still get out of it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Scary. Oh my gosh.
Okay, wait, I have one last one because this one's freaking hilarious too. It says, how do I stop mothering my husband? And that's coming in from your sister, from your daughter-in-law. She wants to know why she has to keep mothering your child.
Because he's Steven. That's why.
Oh my goodness, what a mama's boy. He's annoying.
He's not annoying.
Yes he is.
No he's not. Oh Marissa, I feel for you though.
Hey guys, you know what? Thank you for tuning into this episode. We have so much more to talk about. I hope you guys keep tuned. Next week we'll be here. Be ready for Mama and her infos.
Thank you so much. Night night.
Night guys. No.